Like, if that's a belief that's going to help you be more empowered, then we're going to replace it with that. That is true. Your baby was perfectly designed to withstand birth.
Right.
And it actually takes about 67 days in a row without stopping to create a new neural pathway. So this is a practice that you can get in on the daily to really help rewire so many of these fears. And in the long run, if you practice this, one, it's going to help with your birth. But two, this is a practice that you can take throughout the rest of your life.
Hi, I'm Rachel, owner of The Natural Birth Site, certified birth doula, childbirth educator, and midwife's assistant.
And I'm Tiffany Muniz, certified birth doula, lactation counselor, and midwife assistant.
Here, you'll learn all about different aspects of pregnancy, birth, and postpartum.
Remember, none of this information should take the place of your care provider and is not medical advice.
Birth is not a medical emergency.
Thanks for listening.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to The Natural Birth Talk. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Tiffany.
And we are here with Allie McLean today, and we are going to talk about all of these fears that kind of haunt us as moms leading up to our birth, and more specifically, how to let go of all of those fears. So before we jump into that, we're going to let Allie introduce herself.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you, ladies, for having me on today. I'm so excited to talk about this topic because it is very near and dear to my heart. I had so many fears to work through. I'm a wife of 10 years now. I have four children, and I homeschool two of them currently, and I'm a registered nurse turned holistic home birth coach. So I'm also the host of the Peaceful Home Birth podcast. So I love birth, and I love talking about fears and ultimately, like you said, to how to let go of them. So that's definitely one of my most favorite topics to talk about.
This is going to be an awesome chat today, don't you think, Tiffany?
Yeah, Allie, I was just going to say, I also, well, I'm not a registered nurse, I'm an LPN, but I also left the nursing world after I had my son and kind of switched gears, and now I'm in birth work. I always think it's so interesting to meet another nurse who went down the same path that I did.
Yeah, and it's really interesting how birth really does kind of open your eyes to alternate ways of, living and health.
Yes,
absolutely.
It's a rabbit hole. I feel like mine was like maternity leave. I was on maternity leave, and I just kept researching and researching and finding more information, and it just never ended.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of like birth is like the gateway for people. Mm-hmm. Like they start learning about natural birth, and then they kind of spiral and spiral and spiral into more natural living and more natural health and things like that.
Holistic,
it's so funny. Yep.
Agree. Yep.
Okay, so we are also very excited for the topic today because this is something Tiffany and I always work with our doula clients on a lot, and childbirth ed clients is just, you got to clear out that fear, ladies. Like you have to clear it out because if it is there and it is present, it really can hold you back. So Allie, what are some of your like top reasons for doing it or top tips for moms, however you want to go with that?
Yeah, sure. I think starting at the beginning of like where fear comes from and finding the source is so important. Mm-hmm. Just a little background on me, my story with my first child, being a nurse, you know, I was fully inundated to the Western medicine way of doing birth. And so of course I pee on a stick and I see I'm pregnant. And my first thought is, oh my gosh, like this baby has to come out of me. And it was like these fears of how am I going to be able to do that? How am I going to be able to handle it? You just hear so many terrible stories about birth and they all came to me in a minute. And so I definitely went into that birth experience, passing off my decision-making, my responsibility over anything that happened there and left it solely up to the medical providers. And they ended up with a very traumatic C-section that I absolutely did not want. I mean, my baby's heart rate went into the 20s, like could have been absolutely terrible. Yeah. And then 2 weeks postpartum, I had asked my doctor why I had to have the C-section and how this all came to be. She had to leave the room to look at my chart. She was so disconnected from my case. She had no idea. So she had to look at the reason why. And she said that my pelvis was too small to ever be able to have a baby. And an important part of that story is my first baby was 5 pounds and 10 ounces. And that will come into play.
Oh my gosh.
For my next children. But all of that to say, I had fear leading into it that we're dictating my decisions. And then I had fear going into my home birth because of what people had said to me and the thoughts that they had put into my head. So I knew the source of my fear, and that was a very important starting place.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're probably going to get to this, but I just want to get to it now. So you had a 5 pound something else baby that was supposedly too big for your pelvis. Mm-hmm. And then you had home births later.
Yes, I did. And
crazy how that works.
Isn't it funny? Yeah. So I definitely, there's something to be said about intuition. Mm-hmm. And I think if women keep being told that their intuition, their feelings, their gut sense is off or wrong because it's not scientific or it's not backed up by studies, they're going to be missing so many amazing possibilities that their life could have.
Absolutely.
And so my intuition said that that doctor was wrong. I still had fear. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today is like, how did I overcome that? Yeah. But number one, like, listen to your intuition. What is that saying first?
Yeah. Sounds like something Tiffany and I say like, all the time.
I was just going to say, I feel like we have this conversation every single episode that we record. Like, your intuition is there for a reason. You need to listen to it, you know, I mean, every week.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe something, I don't know if you want to talk about this really quickly, if you want me to, but the difference between fear and intuition. That can be really hard for some people to distinguish. But just remembering that fear is kind of like that what if game, or if this and that kind of game, of like kind of going down that rabbit trail, or like the knot in your stomach or the heart racing kind of, that's fear. But intuition is just a much more confident feeling. And maybe you know why it's there and maybe you don't, but you know, that intuition, that confident feeling is the right choice. But sometimes, like in your case, Allie, and with so many women, the fear will drown it out because it's so strong. But it's just, it is important to kind of know the difference. Public service announcement here, guys. I put my Invisalign in for this recording. So for all the listeners out there, if you notice that I'm listening just a little bit, don't judge me. That's all that's about. So, okay, Allie, keep going with what you want to talk about, though.
Yeah. No, I love it. You sound great.
Thanks.
So I think what you were saying is so important about the difference between fear and intuition. And what that takes is being a little bit more self-aware. And so I think a lot of women struggle with that because we have so many thoughts going through our head all the time. We have so many responsibilities with children or what, you know, work or whatever is going on in our life that it's just hard to sit still and be like, wait a minute, like what's coming into my mind here? So kind of going back to my story, I had to learn how to break it down. And I'll get into this more in a little bit, but I learned that I needed to be aware of the thoughts that were going in my head. Before I could do anything about the fear, I had to take a moment and say, okay, I'm going to sit here for 2 minutes and not try and think about anything and just see what's popping into my head. And then I would write them down. And so when I, after my traumatic birth, my intuition was saying, she's wrong, go with the home birth. So I was following that. I'm a very gut driven person. That's just like, God has gifted me with that ability. And so I just follow that. So I was writing down so many thoughts. And one thing that just kept coming up is, what I was told was my pelvis is too small, right? And so then after learning things about neuroplasticity and how your brain can come up with new neural pathways, I said, okay, that is a broken neural pathway that's not going to lead to anywhere beneficial for me. So if I want a different outcome than what I had before, I'm going to have to retrain my brain to make decisions that's going to lead to the outcome I wanted. And so this is something that I work with my clients. I take them through, it's called DEF. It's my DEF framework. And it starts with dreaming. Because if you don't know where you're going, how will you know how to get there? So I had to say, okay, what outcome do I want? What are my thoughts? Are they, and then what is my feeling? So that's kind of that next step. Write down your thoughts, and then what feelings are coming up with you, and name them specifically. For me, it was a fear of failure. I was terrified that I was going to go through all of this to plan this home birth. And I was going to, you know, tell people that this is going to be what happened. And then I was going to fail and I was going to end up with a C-section because my pelvis really was too small. Right.
Yeah. Right.
And, and so I had to feel that in my body, like where at in my body am I experiencing that? I placed my hands in and I literally just felt what it felt like to feel like a failure. And that allowed me to process those feelings so they weren't controlling me anymore.
Good. And I think that's a really common feeling for moms planning home births, especially their first home birth. You know, it's or any natural birth. Honestly, it's that fear of failing.
Yeah. And so that is it was powerful for me to allow myself to feel those feelings and realize this is something so interesting is that when thoughts are paired with feelings over time, they create your belief system.
Yeah.
And then out of your beliefs come your decisions. So it's figuring out, okay, what belief do I have in my subconscious at my very core of who I am? What do I believe about myself, about my ability to birth? And the belief that coming up was I'm broken. I was told that I'm broken because I couldn't birth baby.
Right.
Well, I think that's another thing we fight in this culture because really kind of as women, we're kind of all told that we're broken when it comes to birth. Like we're all, you know, without so many words, right?
Yeah.
But like being taught that we have to be in the hospital because it's not safe to be outside of the hospital. It's basically that same programming of like your body's too messed up to birth this baby safely without medical care.
Right.
Yeah. Which is just not, it's simply not true the large majority of the time.
Right.
Yeah. That is so true. I mean, I'm hearing beliefs come up for women all the time, like as I'm talking to them. And it's really easy to start seeing the correlations between what people believe and the outcome of their birth. And so it's like, this may seem like insignificant in your birth planning, but if you do not figure out the core beliefs that you have about yourself, about birth, about just that design, like your decisions come from your belief system. And so for example, like I had to change that thought from my pelvis is too small to my pelvis was made to birth. Whether or not there was anything in reality, my current reality, to prove that or not, I had to choose and make a decision. This is going to be my reality for right now until I get proven differently.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to go on. Like that fear would consume me. So your subconscious will totally dictate like what your outcomes are. So I had
100%.
I had to really figure out what was going on in my brain.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. Rachel Manns here. And today I have something I'm thrilled to share with you guys. Imagine having a treasure trove of informative, entertaining, and empowering video content about the journey to parenthood right at your fingertips. That's exactly what you get with Informed Pregnancy Plus. For less than 25 cents a day. That's a quarter, guys. You'll gain access to a vast subscription library filled with documentary films, web series, mind and body fitness programs, workshops, and courses covering fertility to parenting and everything in between. Designed for new and expectant parents, as well as pregnancy and birth professionals, Informed Pregnancy Plus is like having a trusted BFF and doctor in one, guiding you through every step of the path to and through parenthood. A few of just my favorite titles are obviously The Business of Being Born, Empowered Mama, Belly Dance for Birth, How Fun Is That?, Ease into Sleep, The Afterbirth Plan, and The Core Connection, an extremely well-presented and informative workshop teaching you about your core and pelvic floor and how to keep them healthy. And here's the best part. For a limited time, you can gain full access absolutely free. Just visit informedpregnancy.tv to sign up. Sign up for Informed Pregnancy Plus right now. I'm not kidding, guys. It's really going to help you out. It's my prescription for your informed and empowered parenting journey, all from the comfort of your home. Visit informedpregnancy.tv. That's informedpregnancy.tv, and the link will be in the description below. Now back to the show.
So,
yeah.
Well, I think it's awesome that you were able to like sit down and do all of that work. And it is something we really do need to take the time to do is explore how we're feeling and what we're believing and stuff. And I think most of us just don't take the time to do that, even though we obviously should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Honestly, I mean, now that I have 4 kids, I wouldn't. Like, that was my second child. I had a lot more time to sit down and do that with, you know, being pregnant with my second than I did with my third or fourth. But I think that this is where hiring a doula comes in, or like hiring a birth coach. Like, if you need accountability to take time, and oftentimes we need a sounding board to hear what's going on in our own subconscious. It is so much in our brain that it just is normal to us. But when we start expressing it out loud to somebody else, it's like we start hearing it differently.
Yeah.
And so I 100% advocate for, you know, hiring a doula to help you work through this mindset stuff, or like hiring a coach who will sit down with you virtually and like talk about it and figure out what beliefs do I have, and are my decisions matching with the outcome that I want?
Yeah. Right. Well, and this even sounds like something that you could kind of start working on before you're pregnant.
100%. Yeah.
So, you know, guys, hire a birth coach before you're even pregnant, right?
Right.
Well, yeah, I say it that way, but
especially if you've had a traumatic birth. You know, it's way better to process the trauma before you get pregnant, because your baby experiences every feeling that you have. And so it's like, it's so beneficial to go through that process before you're pregnant.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'm sorry. I'm super distracted by the birds on my balcony.
Oh my gosh.
We have, don't judge me, I'm like 50 at heart. There's like, my son put up a bird feeder because he likes birds, because he's also 50 at heart. And there's like a new one I haven't seen before. So there were like 2 like really bright red cardinals. And now there's this new brown bird that I haven't seen before. So I had to take a picture of it.
Oh,
I love it.
Okay. So I don't know where we just were.
So do we maybe want to talk about like, I'm sure that you hear a lot of the same fears over and over and over, especially like with home birth clients. I feel like I constantly hear the same fears over and over. What if something happens to me? What if something happens to my baby? Or even more specific, what if there's a nuchal cord? What if there's a shoulder dystocia? Yeah. How do you kind of like break those specific instances down and talk about those?
Yeah, that is such a good question. So again, this comes back to that process of identifying your thought, feeling, belief, and then decisions, right? So your thought is like, what ifs, right? That's what you were talking about with the fear. Mm-hmm. So much of it is that what if. So let's take the nuchal cord, for example. What if my baby has a nuchal cord? My baby had a nuchal cord and supposedly my pelvis was too small. So they were like, thank God that we were here to save your child, you know? Yep.
They were playing the God card. We fixed it, even though they're the ones who probably caused it.
Right. So that was definitely a fear going into my second birth. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be at home. What if my baby's cord is wrapped around the neck? Mm-hmm. And so I had to write that thought down, realize that so many times the what if fears is just a lack of education.
Yes.
It's a lack of knowing something. And so on a deeper level, most of the time it is a fear of the unknown. Mm-hmm. It is a fear of not being in control. Mm-hmm. And so there's so much deeper seated feelings going on that just oftentimes aren't identified. Mm-hmm. And we're told like, oh yeah, this cord, so it's dangerous. But writing it down often and verbalizing it out loud can help you identify what's going on, number one. And two, it can identify what you need to research some more, because I mean, we say it's so cliche, but like, knowledge is power, right?
No, really,
like,
though. Yeah.
Like, it really is true. And so so much of the process that I help people with is like education, but that education, what you guys do is like so important. The childbirth education.
And I just want to clarify for the audience that a nuchal cord is not actually dangerous.
Right.
So as Ellie was saying, you got to go down the trail of researching.
That's what I was going to say. Like, when I talk to clients, you know, if they're like, oh, I'm scared of the nuchal cord. Well, why? Why are you scared?
Yeah.
And like you said, I mean, a lot of times they're like, oh, well, I don't know. Like, I've just been told that it's bad and it's dangerous.
Right.
You know what I mean? So yeah, that's where that like knowledge is power really comes into play, because sometimes they're just scared. They don't even know why.
Yeah. Or they think they know, and then they find out that a nuchal cord is present in somewhere around 40% of birds.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's that good old Wharton's jelly in the umbilical cord keeps it nice and protected, so that a nuchal cord is not actually a problem. But it is, like you said, once you have the fear, then you can, and have identified the fear, it kind of tells you where you can go research.
Exactly. So it just goes back to like finding the source of that fear. Why are you afraid of a nuchal cord? Like, is it because of a previous experience, or just because somebody told you that, or is it just a lack of education? Like, what exactly is it? And then knowing what you want, like, is that going to keep you from pursuing what you actually want? And that, I think that kind of gives it a little bit more importance of figuring it out. Cause what I see happen a lot is like, people just have fears, and then they're like, okay, I have a fear, so I'm just going to make like my default decision. Right. And we live in this world of just like default decisions, and that's not empowerment.
Like,
that's not how I want to live my life. It's just a default fear decision making.
Yeah. Or and like then, you said with your first, where you were like, I'm just going to pass the decision making off to the care provider.
Exactly.
Like, I'm afraid to make this decision because I'm afraid I'm going to make a bad one. So I'm just going to let my care provider make this decisions for me.
Right. Exactly. So yeah, that step like three, after you know the source, after you know what you want, is finding your support system. So like I was saying with the doula, it's like, it's so important that you have somebody that you can bounce your fears off of. Having a midwife or like a doctor who respects you and or respects birth, like the process of birth, in high regard, and then trust you, trust your ability, trust your body. Like if you have a provider like that, it will cover so many of those fears, because you're going to feel supported.
Yeah.
And knowing, I mean, so many times, like postpartum, like, do you have a good support system postpartum? Just knowing that there are people around you to support you minimizes those fears exponentially.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Yep. Or knowing that there's people around you, not just that support you, but have the same goals as you. You know, because sometimes support can be like, okay, well, I'm supporting you. Like, I wouldn't do it that way, but I'm still going to support you, kind of thing, versus someone supporting you who kind of has the same goals as you. So then, you know, because sometimes your support team can have some fear come in also. And so you just have to be really wise about choosing that support team very well.
Totally.
Anyway, yeah, because I think Tiffany and I sometimes see people who are like, oh, I have this midwife, or I have this OB, and they're so great, and they support everything. And we're like,
do they though?
But do they?
Do they though?
It's so funny. I try and explain to people how I can like tell the future when it comes to people's birth experiences. And it's like, it only takes a couple of quick questions, because if you're provider, like you were saying, like, do they really support you? You can, after you work in this field for long enough, you know the red flags
for sure.
Or like, even, I mean, working with the fear and like the belief system, if you can identify somebody's underlying belief system, it's very easy to see how their birth will turn out, which is sad. But that's also why I do what I do, and why you do what you do. It's like, we care so much about women and like their outcomes on birth, because it matters, that we're willing to kind of like push you, and we don't want you to live in fear. So
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
So after identifying the support system, is there another step?
Yes.
Okay.
So that is capturing your thoughts. And I hit on it a little bit before, but this is where that neuroplasticity comes in and identifying like what pathways are your thoughts and your feelings and your beliefs traveling on? Is it benefiting you for the outcome that you desire? So this is that thoughts, feelings, beliefs, decisions. But it really does start with just like self-awareness. And like I was saying, it kind of takes, we're not used to that. We're not used to slowing down and just like being aware of what's going on. So it takes practice. And I just want to encourage anybody out there listening, like take just 2 minutes, like 2 minutes a day, just to sit in quiet and stillness and see what thoughts are racing around in your head. It was crazy when I started doing this. I had no idea how many thoughts were rushing around that just weren't benefiting me.
Yeah.
And so when you can be aware of what that is and you just take time to be quiet and tune in, you can catch that thought. And one thing that I love to do with people is when they can catch that thought like in their imagination, but also it's really powerful writing it down because it takes it out of your head. And that's why journaling is so good, right? Yeah. So it's taking it out of your head, writing it down, and then identifying the feelings. But this step is so important is you look at this thought and you're like, wait a minute, is this true? And so this is where that education and that knowledge comes in. For example, I'm afraid my baby is going to die from a nuchal cord. Okay. Well, is that true? Well, it's not true right now. I'm pregnant with my baby right now. It's not a reality right now. So this is like a fear and anxiety that is in the future that I have no control over. What I have control over right now is my education on this. And so you can say, is this true? Well, it's not true right now. And as I'm educating myself, I'm seeing that nuchal cords, like you were saying, happen like in 40%. Most of the time, they're not ever an issue. And then you replace that thought. So write it out in your head. My baby is going to die from nuchal cord. Literally close your eyes and delete each letter until it's gone. And then replace it with what is true. My baby was perfectly designed to withstand birth. Like if that's a belief that's going to help you be more empowered, then we're going to replace it with that. That is true. Your baby was perfectly designed to withstand birth.
Right.
And it actually takes about 67 days in a row without stopping to create a new neural pathway. So this is a practice that you can get in on the daily to really help rewire so many of these fears. And in the long run, if you practice this, one, it's going to help with your birth. But two, this is a practice that you can take throughout the rest of your life. I use it in motherhood all the time. Like, for example, I'm a bad mom. It's like, how many times do we say that? Right? But that when I, that is my core belief, I'm going to act like a bad mom more often than not, right? Because I believe it. And so my decisions are going to come from that belief. So in order for me to change that, I have to be aware of when that thought is coming in, capture it, and change it to what is true. I'm not a perfect mom, but I am a mom who loves her children fiercely.
Yeah.
Like, how much better does that belief sound?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Those are some really, really awesome tips. And it's a lot of things that, like, Tiffany and I use with our clients a lot, and I teach a lot of similar things in my online class, but I love how I think just your nursing background allows you to use more, I don't know, like official words. I don't know. Official is not really the exact word I was looking for, but that's, I don't know, speaks to what I'm saying, I guess. You're able to say it so eloquently.
Oh, thank you. I love the science of our bodies, of our brains. And so when I hear that, to me, it just points to a design that was perfect. And like we were perfectly created to give birth. We were perfectly created to work through fears. And like perfect love casts out all fear. And so I am more than capable of changing my mind so that fear doesn't control me. Like,
I love it.
One of the most amazing things I was ever told was when I was planning my first birth or my first home birth. and I was diagnosed with placenta previa.
Okay.
And they had said, you're going to have a C-section again. And of course, that broke me because I was like, mm-hmm. I've done all the mental work. Like, yeah. My body was designed for this. You know, this is my worst fear coming true. Mm-hmm. And I call my midwife and I'm just like, they told me this. And then mm-hmm. they want me to get so many scans and I'm going to have a C-section. And I'm sobbing. And all she does is like, she said, Allie, one thing I live by is I don't make any decisions out of fear. Mm. And it was like that. Whew, like that calm, like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, that mm-hmm. changed my life. I am not going to make any decisions out of fear. So they had wanted me to come back for ultrasounds every 2 weeks and
right,
or like
a
month, every 2 weeks.
So crazy.
I have a bone to pick with that because why can't right? you just check at like 35 weeks or something? Mm, why yes. do you have to go back every single week in between?
Exactly. Right. But if I was letting fear control me, and I was like, okay, fine. Like, everything I did doesn't mm-hmm. matter anymore. So I'm just going to listen to whatever they say. Mm-hmm. Then I would have. And what does that fear do to your body? What does that mm-hmm. fear do to your baby? Like, I did not want that going in my head. I'm like, I'm going to trust it. My body knows what to do. My baby mm-hmm. knows what to do. And I'm going to keep planning it. So I did not get any more ultrasounds until 34 weeks.
Good for you.
And then at that time, it had moved. To point, what was it? It was 11 millimeters. So like a little over 1 centimeter. And technically, so this, you guys, is, I don't know. It might be a little controversial, but
that's okay.
Technically, if I went to the hospital, they would want to section you for 2 centimeters.
Far enough away.
Yeah.
The cervical opening, right? Yeah.
Yes. So I had done so much work in my mindset that I was like, okay, I am not against a true medical need for a C-section, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm going to allow myself to do research because right now I'm feeling fear. Mm-hmm. Probably means I need to research some more. And I found one study. I found one where somebody had given birth at 1 centimeter. Mm-hmm. Away from the cervix. And I was like, well, if she could do it, I can do it because and if at any time I needed to transfer to the hospital, that would be what it was there for. Right. Like, and mm-hmm. I would have a true medical need mm-hmm. and I would have it.
Yeah.
And I would have a C-section and I would be empowered while I did it because I knew it was my decision and I wasn't manipulated into it.
Yeah.
So I ended up having a home birth with technically placenta previa that I would have had a C-section for if I went into the hospital.
But you trusted your instincts. You knew it wasn't mm-hmm. right for you. And it is so important because, and I always say this too, like medicine and research and science, it can only tell us so much.
Mm-hmm.
It can only tell us so much. It's not a perfect system. The science mm-hmm. is never settled. And it can be really, really helpful in some cases to help guide our choices, but it also cannot take the place of our natural intuition.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. And having that support system too, because my midwife, she was like, I'll be watching, but like, I feel good. Your mm-hmm. husband feels good. You feel good. We're going to go until we don't feel good. And then you can go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And we felt fine the whole time. And it was beautiful. And our bodies know what to do. And it proves it to me every time I go to a birth, every time I have mm-hmm. a baby of my own. I mean, speaking of nuchal cords, my last baby had his cord wrapped around his neck and over his shoulder and around his waist. Mm-hmm. And guess what? That labor was long and it was weird because the placenta had to come down at the same time the baby did.
Yeah.
Right? Because it was so like short.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, wow, that baby is so intelligent. Our body is so intelligent. Mm-hmm. There was moves mm-hmm. that I knew I shouldn't do. And mm-hmm. it's like your intuition is, it's such a necessary tool.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely. For sure. That's a great note to end on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As long as you don't have anything else to add.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to work more through those fears or if there's anything haunting you that you're like, I just need somebody else to bounce this off of, I do 30-minute birth strategy calls. They're free. It's no strings attached. We'll just talk through that and see if we can find you some breakthrough in that. So that's bit.ly/birth strategy. And then for your listeners, planning a home birth, I know. So one of the biggest questions, like, what do I actually need for homework? So I have a free checklist that they can download just to make sure that they have everything they need and maybe some things that they didn't even think that they needed. So it's kind of a fun checklist, but they can get that at bit.ly/homebirthessentials.
Perfect. I will add that stuff into the description so they can access that really easily.
Yeah, I just love talking about this and I just trust women. Trust women. And I trust birth. Like, most of the time when it's left alone, it works.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. Yes. 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 Especially when you've cleared out your fears.
Exactly.
Yep.
All right. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Allie. This was so exciting. And listeners, you definitely need to be checking out Allie's podcast, Peaceful Home Birth. I'm also going to get to tell my home birth story on her podcast. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But even outside of that, you should check out her podcast too, because there's a lot of really great nuggets in it. So
yeah.
Thank you again for being here. Super excited. I will put a link to your podcast and some other things in the description. So listeners, you can find her really easily, and we'll talk to you guys in the next episode. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Thank you.
Hi, Rachel Manns again. If you want to learn more, please subscribe to and rate this podcast and head over to thenaturalbirthsite.com to check out our online natural birth education course, birth story blog, YouTube channel, and more.